Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. Here's where we talk about investment, spending and earning. I'm Kaizad Adajanya. In our last week's podcast, my colleague Preeti Kulkarni and I had spoken about why this is as good a time as any to take a home loan if you really want to buy a home. Home loan rates have gone down and there are some very good deals available with many banks. In today's podcast, I have with me in our studios Vipul Patel. He is the founder of MortgageWorld.in. MortgageWorld is an independent professional mortgage advisory services company, mainly into home loans and loan against property. And they advise people on what to do if you want to take a home loan, which bank to go to, which banks will give you the maximum bang for your buck, and then recommend the best option. And Vipul is here to tell us whether you're really eligible for all the low home loan rates that banks are advertising and what you should do to ensure that you get the best possible home loan rate.
Hi Vipul, welcome to the show and how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome and happy to be again on the podcast with Money Control.
Thank you Vipul, our pleasure to have you. So, you're the expert on home loans and everything on mortgage. So, we thought, since this is a special series that we are carrying on about, educating people about low home loan and low home housing loan rates. So, is this the right time to buy a home? Is this the right time to go for a housing loan? In that regards, I wanted to ask you the nitty-gritties of taking a housing loan because, people are swamped with advertisements from various banks like, SBI, Kotak Bank. All of them are offering record low home loan rates.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
My question is, Vipul, do all of us get to enjoy these low rates or are there conditions?
So all rates in this country today are linked to what is called external benchmark. An external benchmark could be an RBI repo rate or the treasury rate or the gilt rates or various other benchmarks which are defined
Correct.
By RBI.
Correct.
And then there is a risk weighted that they carry, which is defined by the credit scoring companies. So your various credit scoring companies like Experian, you have Equifax, you have CIBIL. So they
okay.
take this score and based on the score, your rate is arrived. And then okay. bank also has that if your score is great, say, for example, we see a very popular private bank saying 6.65 today. And there's a
yeah.
multinational bank saying 6.49. Okay.
Okay.
So 6.49
okay.
is the lowest that we have heard in the country. Mm. But it is subjective. So subject to your credit score being more than 850 levels, okay, which is rare, okay. Then we have our nationalized bank, which would say, okay, if there is a woman, my score-based margin would be so much. And if it is under 30 lakhs, under 75 lakhs, under 50 lakhs, so various things. So who gets what rate is purely a factor of which bank you go to and how good your credit score is. And there are multiple agencies which do credit score. So I think that is something that you
okay.
have to be wary about. Yeah.
Okay. So it's basically very conditional. It's not like the rates that they advertise you as the rate that you
flat.
Get.
It's very conditional. The finest rate that you see, people seldom get. In March, banks have made waivers saying you qualify for a 7.25 as per grid, but I'm willing to give you 6.7. Now what happens?
Hmm.
All this credit score based lending are subject to reset annually. Which
okay.
means on your loan anniversary, they will check your credit score again. And if your score has not improved, they might say my credit link score is so much, now your rate is going up. So I think
okay.
The consumer needs to be very, very, very careful about
okay.
how their pricing is arrived at.
Okay.
Get the bank to issue a document to them because that's how they're going to protect their interest.
Okay. So, Vipul, you've mentioned credit score. That's the big, that's the big roadblock. In front of the borrowers to get the rate that is actually advertised by the bank. So credit score is becoming more and more important with every passing day, right? I mean, it's
yes.
it's a part
Absolutely.
And parcel of our lives and it's a
yeah.
reflection of who we are. Now, you
yeah.
also said that different banks have, of course, there are different credit rating agencies. There are different agencies that do our credit profiles and arrive at our credit mm-hmm. scores. And
yeah.
Money Control had also written an article before that, how the algorithms of different credit agencies are different so that, you may have the same history, you may have the same profile, but your score could be a little different from agency A as opposed to, let's say, an agency B.
Mm-hmm.
And banks also if I'm correct, they also revert to, I mean, they also sort of depend on different credit agencies, right? So do you think the borrowers need to take that also into account when they go to, is it necessary for them to ask by which credit agency do you refer to? Is it necessary for people to get into all the sort of nitty-gritties?
No. And as a policy, bank may not disclose to the consumer as to which credit agency they are referring to. Something known as TransUnion CIBIL is very popular, but there is an Equifax, there's an Experian, there are a few more, about I think six agencies in the country today. And to ensure that the consumer gets justice and he gets the best opportunity, a few nationalized banks or the scheduled nationalized banks, what they have started doing, they have started taking average of two or three players. So that the consumer doesn't lose out, you know, because someone's elbow is a little tighter and someone's elbow is not, you know, that tight. So you might get a great score in one company, but the other company might score you down. So they started taking average to balance it out. So I think it's very important. As a consumer, I request everyone that at least they should go and have at least two or three credit reports generated on their own. On their own, not via any third party aggregator who gives it free for you. There are two versions that everyone runs, and this is not known to the common man, that credit companies, they run version 1 and version 2. The version 1 is what you see, version 2 is what banks see, and there's a difference. So I request, even if it costs 500, 700, 800, 1000 rupees, spend that money, take your credit score. And a couple of them are doing it free. Keep one or two of them and keep checking it periodically. Credit scores are so very important. In future, I see employers already checking in banking industry. Your credit score is important when you are applying for a job. Slowly, your visa applications, people might insist so that we don't have repeat of defaulters and offenders. So that's something which is very important. Everyone should check for their credit score.
Okay. And I think you get one credit report per agency free every year, right?
No. Credit report is free, except for one or two large companies who have, as of now, kept it free. But over a period of time, they will start charging. But my advice is go to directly the bureau, the credit bureau or the credit bureau. Check agency or the credit score agency. Go to their website. Generate your credit score. You will see how it makes a difference. Yes.
Okay. Vipul, what percentage of your, the cost of your home do you get as a loan from the bank? Do you get, because there are other charges also, no? I mean, when you buy a home, there is a stamp duty, brokerage charges and all that. Can you add all those costs and then apply for a loan or how does it work?
So what happens is that there is another big issue that we've been seeing. When you step out to buy a house, you say my budget is 1 crore or my budget is X. Okay. When you buy the house, you are ready for that X. If you're buying from a builder in a city like Mumbai, Pune, Chennai, all the big metros, tier 1, tier 2, if you buy from a developer, you find your actual cost of the house is X, which is the agreement value or the document value. Yeah. About 18 to 21% of that is other cost like stamp duty, registration, administrative cost, advance maintenance, blah, 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 what a club fees, this deposit, that deposit, whatever you call it. And if you are taking a resale property, you still have stamp duty, you still have registration. So I would say as a thumb rule, you should ensure that if your budget is say 100, you should think of finding a house worth 80 rupees document value so that the balance 20 helps you tide over. And if you're buying a builder and if you're buying resale property, then 10%. So that's the broad difference. So one has to be very careful when they are budgeting for the house because we've seen people struggle. Once everything is done and it hits them very hard, they've paid the token, they love the house, the family's seen it. And you know how it is now. These are not the days where men. There are men and women both doing it equally hard, and they are putting in efforts. And when they're buying the dream houses in front of them, and they feel, I'm out by 10 lakhs, I'm out by 20 lakhs, and that's a big number. And bank don't finance it, so bank will finance you 75% of the agreement value in the case your agreement is more than 75 lakhs. If it is less than 75, the bank will finance 80%. And if it is less than 30 lakhs, they'll finance 90% of the agreement value. Okay. Now, there are some banks who are also willing to go that extra mile and give you an extra small loan, okay, which is not a part of the home loan. It's a side loan that you get to cover for that difference gap, you know, because people are not able to buy houses otherwise. It was great from an RBI perspective and a prudence perspective to ensure that funding is restricted like this. But if this needs to be eased, looking at the situation today, I think if they ease all the real estate which is lying vacant, will get picked up very quickly. Like everyone should finance, I think, 85 to 90%. Those who are needy, they will take. And those who are not, post-lockdown, we observe people don't want big loans. They want small loans. People buying a crore rupee house was earlier asking for 90 lakhs rupees loan, is now asking for 50 lakhs rupees. So people have learned that, you know, big credit exposure is not really good. And this was a hard-learned lesson in COVID times. So various factors, yes, but what you're saying is right. People need to factor this extra cost while buying a house.
Okay. And Vipul, what to do if you already have a home loan, you're already servicing a home loan, you're paying an EMI. Okay, now that the rates have fallen, should you switch from one bank to another? Or is it compulsory? Or how do you decide if it's worth going through all that pain to switch from one bank to another? And what is the process for doing so, if at all you feel it's worth it?
So let's decide whether it's worth or not to start with. And how does one know? Okay. If you are in a short-term loan situation, when I say short-term, from a mortgage perspective, anything under 7 years is a short-term loan.
Okay.
Now, if your loan period is less than 5 to 7 years or maybe even 8 years, then the gap between your current lender and the prospective lender should be substantial. It should be 1% or 75 basis points. Okay. Then it makes commercial sense to move. If you are on a long-term loan, which is like 25 and 30 years, which is the prevalent practice today, even a small 25 basis point gap would mean you save about 7 to 9 EMIs.
Okay.
Now in a city like Mumbai, if your monthly installment is a lakh of rupees and saving 7 EMIs or non-EMIs is like saving like 7 to 9 lakhs rupees.
Yeah, correct.
So that's a lot. So depending on each person's situation and the length of loan, okay, a quarter percent also may make a difference, and sometimes 1% may not make a difference. So it's all about math. You need to get a professional to guide you on this. And that's what my company does. That's what we do. We're an advisory company. We advise clients as to when you should decide to move. Okay. And first step always is to go and negotiate with your existing lender. Okay. Push them. Tell them, I will go. I won't be able to stay if you're charging me higher. And most of them will accommodate. If someone doesn't, and you are being put to a financial inconvenience, you should then consider moving your loan.
Okay.
And rate is not everything. Sometimes it is service issues. So, you know, you need some services, something went wrong, you may still want to move. So I think various factors, but wherever there is a gap, one should move.
Okay. So Vipul,
cost of moving. When you move a loan from one institution to another, what are your costs? So the thumb rule is any bank will charge you under 15 to 18,000 rupees as a processing fee.
Okay.
That's a broad benchmark.
Okay.
And then you pay 0.3 to the government as franking charge for your loan agreements. Okay. That's in Maharashtra. So that's your base minimum cost. So on, say, if you take an example of a 1 crore rupee loan transfer, 30,000 is franking, 20,000 is proc fee or the processing fee. So 50,000 is your cost. Against that, if there is a quarter percent gap and you are a 30-year loan or a 25-plus-year loan, you are saving 5-6 EMIs. It makes a big difference to you. I think you should spend that money and move, because saving that money. So that's the way things are decided.
Okay. And these are things that you have to go to the bank branch, right? I mean, you can't do everything online, like applying for a home loan in these times also, or even switching for a bank loan, you have to go to the branch, right?
So anything you do with a real estate based loan or a mortgage or a home loan, it has a couple of processes. One is the documentation, which of course can happen online.
Okay.
But then there is something called verifications. So the bank needs to verify that you work where you claim to be working. and need to verify you stay where you claim to be staying as per your papers. They need to come and see that if you are giving house X, okay, then what is the area of the house? They need to come and physically measure the house. Okay. They need to conduct a search at sub-registrar's office. Okay. So mortgage is one product where a lot of physical interaction is required.
But all it this happens like all banks send their representatives to your new property, even new properties also.
New property, old property, a banker's visit is a must. Banking has evolved in our country. In this city, once upon a time, no one used to visit anywhere. And banks ended up lending for buildings which never existed because no one went and saw anything and gave money to fictitious clients, you know. But over a period of time, banks have learned. So no money is given without meeting the client. So they say, signed in my presence. A bank officer certifies that, you know, Mr. Kezad signed in my presence. I have cited him signing. Now they take pictures of you. They take your photograph signing. So the banker who meets you will say, sir, we have to take a selfie together, you know, to prove that I actually met you, I've seen you and you've signed in my presence. So meeting is unavoidable even in COVID times.
Vipul, last question. Your firm, MortgageWorld.in, now you guys are also consultants to individuals upon when they want to take home loans or loan against property. What is the trend that you've seen in the last 5-6 months? I mean, are people really receptive to low home loan rates? Are they going for more homes? What is the trend that you are looking?
So at Mortgage World, we are seeing exponential rise in the number of inquiries.
Okay.
We find more and more people approaching us to find out their eligibility. It's a good thing because the stamp duty was reduced, and I hope the government somehow manages to keep them at the reduced level for another 6 months. We're just praying for that to happen, and I hope they will decide that. The rate of interest have come down from an historic 20 months or 18 months back, 9.5 to 6.5. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a big gap. So earlier, if you were eligible for, say, a 60 lakh rupee loan, and you couldn't buy your dream house because you had only 20 lakhs and the house was costing 1.2 crore. Now on the same income, just because the rate of interest has gone down, your 60 lakh rupee eligibility has now gone up and moved to almost a crore of rupees eligibility.
Okay.
So your eligibility to get higher loan amount is there. The loan availing capability has been enhanced due to lowering of interest rates. So that is enabling people. So there is a huge demand. If I were to say the affordable segment in Mumbai, which is under 2 crore. So Mumbai affordable is 2 crore and under it is 2 crore or 2.5 crore is on fire is the way I would put it. Yeah, it's huge demand.
Okay. Thank you so much, Vipul, for, you know, demystifying this entire home loan segment, the low home loan rates, and making it, you know, explaining it in such a way that, you know, the lay reader understands, the lay listener understands as to how to make best use of the falling home loan rates and how to actually, you know, go about, you know, taking a home loan and making sure that you get the home loan rate that's advertised to you and not just out there. Thank you so much, Vipul, for your valuable insights.
Thank you so much, Kaisa. It was a pleasure as usual talking to you and to Money Control. Very happy to be on.
Thank you. Bye. Vipul. See you soon.
That's all from our side, folks. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We'll be back with another episode next week. Keep listening to Simply Safe. And for more news, views, and analysis, log on to moneycontrol.com.